time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death.
Oh. And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain! Back to the House of Pain!
Hello everyone and welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes. The B-Movie Podcast, from class to cult, and all the cheese in between. The movies are B, your entertainment is grade A. And I'm your host, Mr. Jason Giaconetti, and I'm joined tonight by a very special guest, Mr. Ralph Sutter. Ralph, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jason.
Right. So, folks, you're thinking to yourself going, oh, okay, what movie are we going to talk about? We're not talking about a movie tonight. Actually, Ralph is an artist, and he works, both in the physical medium and obviously in digital. That's a fair assessment, right?
Yep, it's accurate.
Yeah, and we're here to actually talk about his new Kickstarter project. So let's searching first. Ralph, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm a digital sculptor, and I graduated from a media arts and animation program in 2010, and I kind of discovered digital sculpting in ZBrush at that point in my life, and it really changed everything for me because it really allowed me to explore my passion for creature design. And shortly after graduating, I kind of was sucked into something completely different. I ended up doing medical animation, which had absolutely nothing to do with creature modeling whatsoever. And then for years, it kind of ended up being on the back burner. And then as of last year, I started doing a bunch of freelance stuff where I was modeling for a bunch of collectible studios, for video games, and even for some film. But it was basically modeling designs for everybody but myself. So it was all revolving around some really big properties, IPs, that, I grew up loving, and which was great to even be able to work on. But it was not my own stuff. So this Kickstarter really is my own design that I wanted to not just digitally sculpt, but also be able to offer as a resin bust, because I really I'm excited by the idea that people can have this not just as a physical product, but also kind of make their own by painting it and turning it into whatever they would like to. So that's kind of where this Kickstarter came from.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, we were talking before we started recording here. Saw the picture and I was like, man, this thing could be red. This thing could be like I started having. When I know it's something I'm going to enjoy, when I see it, and all of a sudden I have 5, 6, 7 ideas in my head of how I want to paint this thing. And, longtime listeners of this show know that my daughter Haley always has her 2 cents to throw in. She's like, Dad, you know those are horns, right? Let's paint them this color. Let's do this. And, it's to me, original ideas are something that the modeling community, especially the figure modeling community, sometimes people are afraid to put that out there because they're like, well, I can always just do a Frankenstein, make it look like Boris Karloff, and that'd be okay. And they'll sell a certain number of those. But when you have something that's new and original and pushes the envelope, it gets people excited who, like me, who want to paint, people who are who can't sculpt, the people who don't produce our own pieces, but are able to apply, paint to resin, as paint goes to plastic, and you kind of start building that. And this piece is outstanding. Now, for of course, I will put all the links and stuff in the liner notes, the show notes and stuff. But this is the Demonoid. This is talking about the 8-inch resin bust. Now, for those of us who are maybe not as into bust, maybe we build figures of. So, what happens obviously is that when you 8 inches is a good size, but not overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to take up your entire shelf, but an 8-inch is a good size bust, a lot of detail, and it gives the painter something to really, express themselves with. You know, see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I made them before at 5 inches, which is about the height of a can of soda. Mm-hmm. And it was just slightly too small, I feel, for, all the cool detail that he holds. And he's got enough personality to be eight inches tall. So, it's not too large and it's not too small. I think it's a nice height for a bust.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, folks, again, it's well worth your time going to check out, again, like just click on the link and go check things out there. When you see it, to me, what struck me first, I mean, obviously, it just looks so like, oh, this looks like a creature that I, clearly I want to paint, but a creature you're like, okay, this has got like an idea in mind, and, this is not just something that's slapdashed together. It's not just something that, whatever. This came out of a true artist's mind. This is a true creation. And obviously you and I, just getting to start to know each other now, we haven't, it's not like we've known each other for 20 years. I'm looking at this going, wow, this is a guy I need to talk to. This is a guy who's, I want to see what he's going to produce. Because if this is what the first one he puts out, I want to know what the next one is. When I'm looking at a sculptor and I'm so impressed what I see with the first one that I can't wait to get my hands on it. And I'm already hoping, man, I can't wait for the next one in the series. You know what I'm saying?
You're way too kind, Jason, honestly. But yeah, I mean, I have a lot of regressed sort of ideas of characters in my head. It's funny when, you grew up the same way I did, where you have all these people you look up to that have these iconic designs, and little bits and pieces of those just stick in the back of your brain and in your mind. And after a while, you just start to amass all of those, and they come out as a completely new, different and unique design that encapsulate a little bit of all those different ones into one. And I have so many in my head, I can't even keep track, but I already have at least three after Demonoid that I hope to release that are completely different than Demonoid, but have the same sort of aesthetic to it. Mm-hmm. So I hope to reveal those at some point very soon.
Yeah.
Demonoid's definitely not the first and definitely not going to be the last.
Yeah. And that's, that right there is, if you were singly focused, this is the only thing I have, and you're like, what's next? I don't know. But you already know there are other characters that you're already being formulated and, you're creating them, even though we haven't seen them yet. It makes people like me excited. When we see, put it this way, when you see like a new creature that's going to be in whatever, like let's say the Pacific Rim movies, right? Yeah. They had to come up with different designs for their kaijus. They couldn't just have basically Godzilla with a fin on his head, kind of thing. You had to come up with new, but they couldn't just keep rehashing the same thing over and over again. So they had to keep up with different creatures. So every time you're going to come up with something different, it's like, okay, it might all live in the same universe, but they had to be different. And that to me is something that's exciting because that looks at, where can this go? And, you're already talking about having different characters and stuff. That's great. To me, there's nothing I love more than having this, when I would paint stuff up, if I paint up, I try to switch between different sculptors. I don't try to paint the same sculptor stuff over and over again. Right. But it does happen sometimes. There are certain sculptors who I wound up painting a couple of their pieces in a row. But I try to do that because this way when I come back to their piece, so that I don't want to, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, this piece. I mean, so if I had, and then when I put them on the shelf, they're not just painted like one after the other or the other. So you can see the different ideas and techniques that go into doing them. The same way you would do the same thing when you're sculpting.
Right.
So, folks, I honestly here is, the piece itself looks amazing. It definitely, you when you look at it, you see that there's, even just in the raw state, you know what I'm saying, even the sculpted state, there's something going on there more than just, you know, just, oh, it's just another demon. This looks, this guy's got a look to him, and a ferocious kind of, you know, in the face, and the way he's, you know, even though it's a bust, it still can portray that out, you know?
And it's always tough when you, you know, you take pictures of something, or in this case, 3D renders, although you have the 5-inch to go by, it never really quite does it justice. Like, you really, there's a difference between holding something and seeing it in person. Mm-hmm. And I definitely feel like this guy has a lot of personality. When you look at him in real life, you know, he looks great from all angles.
Yeah. Now, I think. Sorry. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
So my question to you is, obviously, you know, since it's done digitally, you know, things like that, do you find that when you print it out in 3D, if you're going to have to 3D print this thing, right? Because now, I mean, 3D printers have come a long way. You find that the details you worked into it are held really well, correct?
I honestly think so. So the 5-inch one I printed was already printed on a pretty high-resolution machine, so it really still captures all of the small details. So I can still see pores and like minute skin wrinkles. And then the one I'm actually using for the Kickstarter is going to be printed on an even more high-resolution machine. So there should be no print lines, and all the small detail will be held up. So it should look even better than the actual physical preview I have up on my Kickstarter.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that I know, some of the, when you see like, stuff that's done three, you know, digital prints, and it's not done on a really high end machine, and it has, you know, the grade of the plastic will matter, and all the different things in it. And this is not a, slapdash together, hope for the best. This is well thought out. This is designed for the collector in mind, the person who wants to bring this demon to life, and hopefully not bring it to your nightmare, you know, kind of thing. So
I'd be fine with that too.
Yeah. Well, and the crazy part is, if you think about that, is that, you know, and I'm, again, you know, I don't know how much this might hold true for you as well. There are times when I'm painting something, and, you know, whatever the source material might be. But I've painted a number of demons and creatures and stuff. And when I'm, you know, if I've spent, let's say, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours painting this thing during a day, especially during the summertime, let's say, right? You know, kind of when I have a lot more free time. I'm painting it, and I'll have another piece I'm working on while things are drying with the sealer. Then I go to bed. It's there. Like, it's just not necessarily that the demon's trying to chase me, but, like, I'm thinking about all the things, and I'm like, and I wind up waking up. It's like 3 a.m. I'm like, I got to go back to sleep because I've been awake, you know, forever. And I want to go down, and I want to keep bringing this thing to life.
What I'm saying? It's funny that you should mention that, because I actually distinctly remember telling Stancy, my fiance, that sometimes, you know, when I'm working on something, well, she'll tell you, she'll be the first one to tell you, I get really obsessed by something, first of all. Like, I'll just kind of just sit behind my computer and zone out, and I'm just not there physically. But I told her that sometimes I'll lay down in bed, and it's like I'll think about a character design, and in my mind I'll already be sculpting it as I'm laying in bed, and then I'll just like go up or get up the next day and actually physically do it. But it's like I already thought out all the steps the night before. It's really weird. So I completely get that.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think that shows a lot of the artist that part of you that can never turn off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And people who know, who've heard me say this before, especially maybe like, let's say on the wrestling podcast I do, or the horror podcast we do, you know, some people are like, well, I'm like, well, if you want me to tell you how to factor, you know, trinomials, I can do that all day long. I do that without thinking about it. But the problem is, to me, that's just part of what I do, and that's how my mind works. When the artistic part of my mind starts working, it's hard for me to turn that off.
Yeah.
And that's when I start, because people are like, how do you manage to do, you know, because I'll be working on, let's say, you know, let's say they're like 4-inch reliefs of just faces and stuff like that. They're like, how are you working on 5 different pieces at a time? And I'm like, because the artistic part of me just is revved up so much that I need to get this out, because there is no sleeping. There is no anything else. There is just, I need to get this out, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. You can't repress that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the nice thing is that, you know, as we've been talking here, a lot of the same things that you and I, you know, the ideas of, you know, bringing these creatures to life, whether it's, you know, doing the sculpting part or me already thinking of what's going to be painted or, you know, anybody who's listening now. And again, I do have some of my, you know, our regular listeners are modelers, even if some don't want to admit it, they do enjoy modeling, right? You know, we are able to bring that artistic side out. And I think that's important too, because that to me, at least to me, when I do that, I find a lot of joy. Even when, you know, there are days when, you know, I'm cursing the airbrush because it's not working, the humidity's wrong, or, you know, I just can't get this line right or whatever. But at the end of the day, I know that even if I'd rather have a bad day of modeling is better than a lot of good days, a lot of other things, you know what I'm saying? So,
right. Well, and as a digital modeler, you know, there's very few things that bring you as much joy in terms of at least creating your art as a few things. And I'll name them for you because they're very distinct to me. The first one is when you actually create a digital model and you see it come to life through animation, right? You see your digital design actually move, and it's like, whoa, wait a second, this is a moving character all of a sudden. It lives. And for me, the other one was actually 3D printing it. So seeing it become a physical product was a very distinct thing. It's something that lived on your screen for the longest time, and all of a sudden it's this tangible object. But something I really never had a chance to, and what I'm hoping to achieve now, is actually see other people interact with that and paint it and turn it into something that's theirs. That to me would be like the ultimate, you know. It's like something you made, but people are turning it into their own designs and making it their own.
Yeah, oh, that's the kind of stuff I love to hear, folks. So, you know, those of you who know me know that I love being the guy who's brings the new stuff. The you know, if I'm, you know, meet an artist, I'm like, oh man, this is great. I love getting that stuff out there. But I was super stoked when I saw this, and I was like, this is something I need to speak to this guy. And you know, even if it had been, no, I don't really want to come on the podcast, I'd still be pushing it out there, because to me, this is the kind of stuff we need. We need people who need fresh blood to come in and to produce stuff that is not the same old stuff. You know, I mean, I love painting my mummies and my Frankensteins and stuff like that, but I want something different. I want something out there. I want them to push the envelope. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I love, and I know other people love too. So, you know, I mean, is there anything else? I mean, I know you have your own website too, right?
I do. It's up on the Kickstarter. It's also very easy to look up. It's RalphSutter3D.com if you want to see some stuff. There's a lot of commercial art up there too, which is, again, what I do on a regular basis. So I'm no stranger to that. I love my mummies. I love I love my Stan Winston stuff. It's what I grew up on, and I can spend hours doing it. So I'm totally with you on that. But this is, again, just my first own thing that I wanted to produce. So, and then Jason, again, thank you so much for even having me on the show. That it really means a lot to me. It's scary when you as an artist put your own stuff out there, and it's nice to see encouragement and get positive feedback like this. And I really appreciate you taking the time to put me on your podcast.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. I mean, I'm going to have you back on though. I mean, we're not going to have to talk about models. We're going to have to talk about some movie down the line. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Because I think you and I, we might have seen a few of the same movies. Maybe.
I would think so, yes.
Yeah, maybe. So, you know, the kind of fun stuff that gets together. You know, our regular listeners, they'll hear Dad and I, you know, talk about, what we have Westworld coming up, you know, for marking our 2-year anniversary of the podcast. And we've talked about all kinds of stuff. We've talked about things like Chud and like Q, and we go all the way back to, like, you know, the 40s and the, you know, for like House of Dracula and stuff like that. But we'll also talk about newer stuff. We, you know, like Pitch Black when the eclipse happened and stuff like that. So Dad and I will do that. My brother has been on many times before. We've had other guests from other places. So I definitely want to have you back to talk about movies as well. And hopefully when you come back, talk about movies, you're like, oh, and by the way, this new, you know, because I love that kind of stuff too. So,
absolutely. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, I'm going to put all the stuff in the show in the show notes and stuff. Please go check this out. To me, if you're saying, okay, I'm not a painter, but I know someone who would appreciate this, please share this. There's nothing that it doesn't cost you a dime to spend the second, you know, 5 seconds to share this to somebody else who might actually be like, oh wow, I didn't know about this. Because once you have that start happening, it starts snowballing, and then everyone will win out in the end. So, like I said, thank you very much for coming on tonight, Ralph. It was great talking with you and, you know, getting to know you and stuff like that, which is really cool. And
likewise, I look forward to being back.
Yeah. Like I always say, folks, keep those cards and letters coming, and keep watching the skies.
Prepare for a spine-tingling, nerve-shattering podcast featuring all your favorite monsters. You won't believe your ears when you listen to Monster Kid Radio. Hear your host, Derek M. Cook, and his ever-rotating stable of guests discuss your favorite classic and sometimes not-so-classic monster movies. Subscribe to Monster Kid Radio through iTunes or Stitcher, or visit monsterkidradio.net before the next weekly episode of Monster Kid Radio. Go through the archives for interviews with Sarah Karloff, Victoria Price, and Joel Hodgson. Listen to discussions about movies like Creature from the Black Lagoon, Island of Terror, and King Kong. And don't forget convention coverage from Monster Bash and the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival. Classic Monsters, Modern Talk, and the head of Rondo Hatton, only on Monster Kid Radio!
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at 2TrueFreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots Bugs Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?